It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
Yo, police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
Yo, police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
All right, welcome to Speak Out and the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I forgot to look up the number, but I think it's 76.
It's 77.
Oh, wow.
It's 77,
It's pretty every, sure. Every time I hear that number or the date, right, it is, you can't hear?
I can't hear. I
volume
can't hear
over
me.
There.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, and okay. It's not working.
My voice isn't, but.
Oh, well, you should be able to hear yourself
there
now.
There we go. There we go. A little bit. Okay,
wow.
There we go.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. It is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, as Dan said, number 77. I just get, you know, with the show number, I get blown away. And now the date being in June, I'm like, where did the year go?
Right. Well, I think our last show we were talking about, 76, that was the year I graduated. So I remember our last show. But this show is going to be kind of fun. I'm really excited. I got a lot of replies from people when they found out that we were going to have our guest speaker.
I forgot to introduce you.
Well, yeah.
That's Dan De Los Santos.
Are
the
you
host
sure?
Of, I am. I'm okay. Positive. The host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you, Paul.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, as everybody knows, you know, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show is all about a lot of our past history, a lot of fun history, and a lot of history a lot of people did not know about. So even our local pioneers chime in, listen in, to find out stories, and find out a little bit more about the Havasu they didn't even know about. And today we have Julie, Foley Roche on the seat with us. She is our guest speaker, and we also have her husband Hal Roche with us today. And, it's gonna be a fun show. We're gonna be talking about how they got to Havasu. Now you folks have been married. 57 years this November, is that right?
That's correct.
That's really amazing. That's a long time to be proud of. I gotta tell you, that's really fantastic.
Well, thanks. It's something that Hal says it's the best 3 years of his life.
Oh. Dan, I have a question. I used to shoot a lot of anniversary videos, wedding videos and that sort of thing. What's your secret?
It's his secret.
Okay, what's your secret to a long marriage? Bring your mic up just a little bit. Yeah, that's it. That's a secret.
It.
Being quiet.
Well, he listens. Yeah. He listens.
Nice.
Listen and nod.
That's right.
All right, perfect.
And so, you folks came out of Monrovia, California.
Right.
Now, that's a fun trek. A lot of us came out of California and, of course, back east, Midwest. But, you know, what was it like for you back in Monrovia? I mean, was it a fairly simple life?
Well, we went to school, high school, elementary school, junior high, and high school together. And we started dating in our senior year in 1967. And then we got married in 69. And up to that point, Hal was working for the telephone company driving into L.A., and he had a really cool black Austin Healey.
Oh, I love those
my
cars.
My sister had one.
Yeah. And so he would drive that. If he left 1 minute too late, he would be in traffic. So it was just kind of a rat race, but I did love it there. My mom and dad lived in their house. They passed away in the same house that they bought in 1949.
Oh, wow.
And high school was fun. I was a song leader. Hal just put up with that. He didn't like it too much. He's not. He told me very plainly that he doesn't dance. I go, okay, I can live with that. So
I wasn't a great dancer myself. I pretended every time I got out on the dance floor, so I can relate to that a little bit. So here you are. You get married. And now you got married in Monrovia, is that correct?
We did, the Monrovia Presbyterian Church. And when we first started out, we didn't know what we were doing. Because we're both the eldest of the siblings in our families. I'm from a family of four, Hal's family of three children. And so neither one of us had ever lived on our own before, so we were pretty lost. And then later Shauna came along, and it was just fun coming out to Havasu and visiting with the Petersons, which Hal's uncle Neil Peterson worked for Trico. And we would stay with them, and we'd go boating on the lake. And the river was really our favorite place. When I was a kid, we used to go to Big Bend back in the early 60s.
Yep.
And that's where we learned how to water ski. So we really like the water sports.
Big Bend.
Down the Strip, Parker Strip.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, so there's different segments of the river. And interestingly enough, Big Bend, you don't hear a lot about it these days.
Not at all.
But it used to be a big part of the crowd that used to show up there in the 60s, including my parents that went down quite
a
bit. Oh, yeah, they didn't miss a nine-hour enduro. I mean, and so Big Ben was just part of the culture that you were down and visited, you know, during that whole episode. So what year did you move to Havasu?
1970. It was Memorial weekend. Shauna was 2 months old. And we found a house on Sombrero, right off of Winter Haven. But at the time, it wasn't called Winter Haven. It was called Witch's Broom or something
like
that.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
Yeah.
So it was a brand new two-story duplex and had a balcony upstairs, and you could look out towards the lake, carport, and then we brought the Austin Healey. And when I had to do laundry, since I didn't have a washer and dryer yet, I had to drive down to Snow White Laundry. And I'd put her in that flimsy little plastic car seat in between the two seats in the Healey and early before it got hot.
Don't do that nowadays.
Now, for anybody who doesn't know what an Austin Healey is, let me give you a description. It makes a Volkswagen look like a Cadillac. Because it's pretty tight. I had the other Austin, the little square Austin. Mm-hmm. Austin Sprite.
Mm-hmm.
And man, the seating is just a little tough. And we made the trip all the way from here to San Francisco with my little brother in the back seat, which wasn't a back seat.
We wouldn't fit in our mouth.
No, absolutely not. So now we didn't have air conditionings in our car for the most part back then. I mean, a few had it, but they didn't work that great. I mean, honestly, they overheated. So everybody drove with their windows down. I mean, that was kind of the way. So I'm assuming the Austin Healey was a convertible. So, you know, that's a cool way to go, actually. That's the sports car of the day, you know, that everybody could afford, quite frankly. It was a pretty cool car. So, you know, now you hit Havasu. What did you do when you got here?
Word spread with the family, and all of a sudden Hal's brother Gary showed up with all his friends, and they had a band. And so they decided that they wanted to live with us. So we were young, and it was kind of fun, and it was bedrooms were upstairs, so they slept all over the floor downstairs. And during the day, they'd be gone, and they'd go down the nautical and hang out there. And then at night, they'd go out and maybe play in the band. And I asked Gary what the name of his band was, and he thought it was called Future. But they played at Mandel's. They played at the Cinema Theater on the stage there. Dick's Auto Parts down on, I think, Industrial.
I'm laughing because he thought it was the band name. must have been a hard party in bed.
It was kind of thrown together.
You got to understand, when I first talked to Julie about this, there was technically no real name for the band, so we were going to go with the no-name band.
Yep.
But it wasn't uncommon to actually see people get together in groups and go out and play.
A jam band, right?
You know, names came when maybe you got hired or, you know, something along those lines, or you actually had, you weren't drifting people in and out.
That's
fair. Were actually a solid group of individuals. So very common for people to jump in and out. And quite frankly, the Doobie Brothers is a perfect example of that because they've had so many people filter in and out of their group, but they all actually will show up today. Years later, and play on stage without announcement. They'll just walk up and start playing.
I've heard Government Mule say the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's fun. So the names, the places you mentioned, those are fun. Those are all the ones that we remember. Mandel's Drive-In.
Front Page.
Yep.
Too.
Oh,
they played there.
Yeah, the Front Page. Oh, my gosh. You know, you're just really ringing some beautiful bells for a lot of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we think about the theater, I never even knew a band had played on stage. Now, that's the first I'd ever heard of that. And before I forget, Bob Hannigan wanted me to make sure to tell you to say hello from him. He's listening in. He's one of our...
Hi, Bob.
He is definitely one of our true listeners, and we appreciate Bob and all the rest of our pioneers.
He's a great guy.
You got here in 70. That means you're a Havasu pioneer.
Yes, yes. And we really didn't get much approval from the family in California for leaving. They were not happy that we left. And like I told you, Dan, that my mom said that Havasu's like granola. You take out all the nuts and the fruit and you end up with a bunch of flakes.
Oh, man.
He was not happy.
And that was the kind version.
We took their first grandchild over here. My sister came here too, my younger sister Susie, and she lived with us and she worked as a server at the Havasu Hotel.
I seem to remember her, so yes. And you know, it's interesting when you mention where she worked. I mean, you know, Havasu, a place to work, you know, that's in some cases that was far and few between.
It was not a good paying job to work for some of the contractors, no offense, but the people who were servers in the restaurants seemed to make good money, if you were good. So I went to work for the Nautical in 1980. And on my birthday, actually, on my 31st birthday, I started there. At the before the captain's table was there.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the Nautical restaurant. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I think that's it was just a Nautical restaurant. I don't think it, and if it had a name, I don't recall it other than before what you mentioned.
Yeah.
Now,
that was a fun place.
Was that the first job you had in Havasu?
I worked for the Droughts in 79 at H&R Block. Fran and Bob Drought owned H&R Block here. And in 79, I worked one tax season. But otherwise, mostly a stay-at-home mom. When the kids started going to school, I'd volunteer at the school, go in kindergarten, and Sandy Brees, who was Sandy Chandler at the time, she was the kindergarten teacher at Starline, wonderful lady. And so I'd do that, and then just various volunteering stuff that had to do with the kids. And then they started skiing in their junior high.
How many children, by the way? And I should
two
ask.
Two girls.
So when, and you brought one with you.
Yeah.
And we have Shauna with us today.
Yes.
And so another
Lisa.
Child. Lisa. Okay.
Lisa is my daughter. She was born in Elko.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she always wants to go back and see what it looked like, where her birthplace was. But yeah, she was born in 72.
Okay.
And I'm very proud of the girls. They're amazing. They went from kindergarten through high school here and got the best education ever, as far as I'm concerned. Teachers like Gail Millay, fourth grade, saw Shauna going off in the wrong direction and got her back on track. Haha, she's sitting behind me glaring at me.
We didn't have too far to go because it's a small town, but we managed to find the ruffles and the feathers, so to speak, you know, wherever we turned it. When parents would turn to us and say, well, go outside and play, find something to do. Well, we did, and it wasn't necessarily always what they wanted us to be doing, but we managed to figure it out, and it was pretty adventurous back in Havasu in those days.
Especially, for the
kids. I'm looking at Shauna, and she's got her eyes big with a big smile. Yeah.
As they got older, they started telling stories, and I just have to cover my ears, as I was not aware of the stuff that they were doing. It was kind of scary, but they made it. They loved it here. And then they left and went to California, came back after 30 years and bought homes here in 2020.
That's
and now they're both here.
That's a fascinating concept to raise your children here.
It's Havasu. They love Havasu.
You know,
too.
We started the kids on the Colorado River Project because the kids were leaving without any knowledge about our community and our lake. And the kids, us back then, we knew those things. It was second nature. And it gave us a reason to come back home. So it's very reassuring to know that people came back for the right reasons. It is a great place to have raised children back in those days as well as today. So one thing I'm finding fascinating is that the kids that that grew up here in the early years, you know, we all knew each other. It didn't matter what age. There was no age group. When I was growing up, it didn't matter what grade everybody hung out with each other. Because that's all there was.
Right.
There was a very small group of kids and adults. So you pretty much, were in the know about everybody's doings, not to mention our party lines, which was, we tend to talk about that on occasion, but
I remember that.
I know for a fact that there were people that lifting up a line and didn't hang up right away because the stories were so juicy.
I think I'm guilty of that a little bit, too.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. I'm still grasping the fact that you graduated. Your senior year was the year I was in sixth grade.
Yes, it was a moment. And so we're here with Julie and Al Roche and Shauna, and we're talking about some old days in Havasu. We'll be right back.
You know what's really funny about that, though, Dan? That was the bicentennial year.
Yes.
And now it's America 250.
Yeah, it's
50
it's a big
years
deal.
Ago.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not trying to make you, trying to make you aware of your mortality or anything. I'm just grasping the whole 50
year
thing.
Did you see that hair fall out of my head?
No, yeah. I don't have that problem.
Yeah.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers radio show brought to you, of course, by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Music from T-Rex taking us back to the Pioneer era, right? Dan De Los Santos?
Yes, sir.
All right. And the number to call in, by the way, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, if you want to call in to the Havasu Pioneers radio show, or you can text us at 928-727-5566, and we'll read your text on the air. How's that sound?
Right. Yeah.
Good deal, right?
No, anyway, absolutely.
Speak Out in the Havasu Pioneers radio show brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet. Salmon's Air Conditioning by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. And you'll love this. From the mind of Dallas Finch.
Oh.
Comes Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo.
Yep.
Great pizza, sandwiches, and salads, home to the Booby Dropper, Main Street Havasu. And also, of course, brought to you the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating.
My wife and I are making Boobies one of our next priority locations to stop in at. I don't think I could live without saying that I've been there once, you know.
You're that Dallas?
And maybe, yeah. Dallas is a good guy. And, yeah, you know, needless to say, you know, he's been very helpful. You know, we've got the beard and mustache competition coming up on October 17th. So get the word out if you know that mustache, if you know that beard. And if you're a lady who likes to make homemade projects, where we've got our category for Whiskerinas to make homemade beards. Last year, a girl won the entire event.
What?
With a homemade beard. And I got to tell you, she knocked it out of the park. She must have spent months on this thing.
Did it pour beer or something?
No, man. I'm telling you. You know, but there is a woman who did have a beard that did pour beer.
I bet.
So we're here with Julie and Al Roche, and we're having some fun talking about the old days here in Havasu and what got them from Monrovia here to Lake Havasu City and what life was like back in the early days. So, you know, we've talked about some of the jobs you've had and things, and what can you share, Julie, you know, some thoughts about, you know, where Hal worked with Trico. You know, Trico is one of the primary infrastructures of Lake Havasu that helped create the city. I mean, as far as subdividing and creating the names in the streets, and they played such a huge role with Havasu, and I question if some of our listeners understand just how important that role was, because the streets you see, the design, you know, there's also the rumor that Havasu was designed by C.V. Wood. I think he probably had his hand in on some of the street systems, because turns out Trico for a period of time was located in the Woods building. So it wasn't a stretch to think that some of our windy streets might have been created by the guy who designed Disneyland. So it's just a thought.
Well, the windy streets were not because of Disneyland. They were designed to have the most amount of lots with the least amount of dirt being moved.
My jaw's dropped right now, folks, because that's probably some of the most enlightening information I've heard yet. That's impressive. I did not realize that. So they got more lots out of it because of the design of the street system.
Yeah. Yeah. And they want the water to run down the streets, not through the lots. So the washes were, the natural drains were used as streets. So that's why, you know, when there's a heavy rain, the streets flood, but your house doesn't normally.
I'm in awe. Thank you, Hal. I really mean that sincerely. That is probably one of the most priceless pieces of information I've ever heard about the design of our city. And I hope everyone was listening to that. Trico certainly was the company that came up and designed that concept, and Hal worked for them for a period of time. You know, I guess I'd have to ask, did you enjoy working with them?
I had a great time.
Okay. And I appreciate that, Hal. You know, not everybody enjoyed their job back then. The old saying was, let the beatings continue till morale improved. And that actually went with a lot of jobs, unfortunately, that were tough. We were out here working in the middle of the desert, but a lot of people had jobs they enjoyed. And it sounds like Hal's one of those individuals. Did you like your job, Julie?
Oh, yeah, I did, as a mom.
Yes.
But Hal was telling me, too, about being a surveyor in the midst of the burrows and how the burrows would chew off the tops of the stakes when they'd put the colored plastic on the stake markers, and the burros would come along and pull them off and lift the stakes sometimes too.
Oh my goodness.
They were all over and
playful.
Very. Right. Oh yeah. One of our dogs got her front tooth kicked out because she was running after him barking and have it. And she didn't do that anymore.
That didn't take too many
good
times.
Point.
But it was funny with the burros too, because at that time, we lived on Chemehuevi, and across the street was a one of those scrubby bushes, like, I don't know, Palo Verde or whatever. But the males would stay and lay down. They would lay down in the shade, and the females would stand out in the sun. It was kind of a different concept.
That is interesting. And for those of you listening who are not aware, our early community, half of it was people and the other half was donkeys.
Yeah.
We, you know, you'd come home and there were donkeys hanging out in your front yard waiting either for scraps or seeing if you had any plants left that you were trying to grow.
Wow. We
didn't have a lot of gardens in Havasu.
No, that house wasn't fenced and there was a swing set out there, and I've got a picture of the donkeys hanging around the swing set. Probably wanted to play on it.
Oh my goodness gracious!
They were everywhere, but no problem.
I never had any problem. Now there were a couple of accidents. Dewey Miller hit one with his car and put the radiator right up to the windshield, and that donkey walked away. It was a mule, but so needless to say, that was a challenge. But so you know, I there was a comment made regarding because we had Joe Honeycutt on the show not too long ago, and inevitably we talked about the Holly Salesman and how that played a role with Trico, because here you've got, you know, a company designing and creating the lots, and you got a company selling them. And like you said, on occasion the donkeys would pull up the stakes or pull the tags, and the roads weren't, you know, if you were on a graded road, you were lucky, because sometimes they weren't even that. You were out in the middle of the desert, and they had the Jeep Wagoneers, including a couple of the old Corvairs out there, which were a little more challenging, and they take the clients out. And then they've flown in on the airplane. They want to see the lot that they're going to buy. And as I'm understanding it, some of the Holly salesmen say, well, this is just about where your lot will be. And it's about this big, and because some of the stakes had been removed, and you know there was a lot of lots. It's not unusual that you'd see a few missing. I can only imagine. Now remember, they've come all the way from back east to fly in, and they want to see their lot, you know, and they're not exactly sure, but they're spending the money at the time.
They'd find their surveyors, Hal, one of them, and they'd ask them, here's our lot number. Can you help us find it? Because we don't barely remember even shopping for it or being out. We were wined and dined and having a great time. And so they'd need help finding the lot that they purchased, which most of the time you could help them.
Well, yeah. At least I knew where I was.
Well, we're going to take another quick break. Again, we're here with Julie and Hal Roshan. We're talking about some fun stuff back in the day and how our city came about. So we'll be right back.
I was wondering about jackrabbits and coyotes and other wildlife too, you know, because we had a coyote. I mean, we've had coyotes running through the streets here, obviously.
Yes.
Know, even recently.
All the time. Nothing stopped. We still have donkeys. We still have all kinds of stuff.
A little skinny one here downtown. Real thin, yeah.
That's because
some of them look a little mangy.
Because there's a lot of vegans right around that part of town.
Good one, Dan. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, episode number 77. Really? I'm Paul Lavoie with Dan De Los Santos. We'll be right back. We're back on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show with Dan De Los Santos and myself, Paul Lavoie, and Speak Out and the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, by Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, Legacy Rehab and Care, and by A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. And a programming side note on tomorrow's show, Brian Springberg will not be here, but will be joined by Gina Swoboda. She's running for Secretary of State for the state of Arizona. She's a former Arizona Republican Party chair also. No stranger to the show, quite dynamic, and yeah, I think you'll like that one, Dan.
Yeah, it sounds like
a
fun
show. I know
you
like that song. I play that song just for you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet.
So we're here with Julian Hal Roche and Shauna, which is really cool. Thank you for being here in our studio with us today. And we've been talking about Havasu and how they got here from Monrovia, California, and Trico a little bit. And, you know, pretty fascinating story about how I just got to tell you, I'm going to call back in, listen to the show. By the way, anyone that's listening, you can call back in and listen to the show 24/7 on the recording on the KNTR talk.com radio website. So that was really a fascinating piece, because when we talk about how the city was designed, I now have a whole new dialogue for the next 10, 20 years about how I'm going to share that. When somebody talks about C.V. Wood, I'm going to go, well, it's not exactly accurate. So, you know, we grew up around a lot of businesses and people. Is there anybody you can think that you'd like to say hello to during our show?
Well, especially Jay Coombs.
Okay.
Jay and his wife Jerry are special friends that we've known for years and years. The Quiggles, Jeannie and Dave Quiggle, Tom Delzio. Did you know Delzio?
I do know who they are, yes. Yeah.
They're up in Washington State. And then my cousins in Texas, who they came here in the 60s with Trico. Neil Peterson, is Hal's uncle. He's the brother of Hal's mom. And so they were here, and they were pretty much responsible for getting us out here and inviting us to come and work for Trico, get out of California.
It's an infamous invitation. A lot of people received one. Come on out. You'll love it. Really, it's okay.
Yeah.
And my everybody I have talked to in some point in their life got that phone call or invite, you know, a few beers later. Next thing you know, they're packing up. They're moving out to Havasu.
Jeez, that sounds like our story.
And we camped on the river for a lot of years, you know, 10 days at a time sometimes. And it became second nature for us. So making the move was, I mean, it was like moving to a vacation spot and
exactly.
Constantly being on vacation for us.
Yeah, exactly. And then at the time, Susan and Elaine, those are our cousins that live in Texas now.
One of them's listening to us today.
Yes, I imagine. Well, probably both of them, but I think I heard from Elaine. She's the Susan and Elaine's sisters are cousins, but they moved to Texas in 71, but they were here in the 60s, and I was sorry to see them go. Susan was a babysitter with Vicki McCormick, and they babysat Shauna.
Oh, wow.
When we lived in that house on Sombrero.
Now, what was the original name of the street?
Witch's Broom, I think. Witch's something.
And I got it when you said it.
To Winter Haven.
It rang such a big bell in my head when you said Witch's Broom. I mean, yes, a lot of us remember that street.
Yeah, they changed that. I'm surprised they haven't changed Broom Rape.
Yes,
I was going to say that, yes. But I'm glad you did instead.
Oh,
thank
great.
You.
You're welcome.
So there's a little story about when we talk about streets, and Hal, if you so choose to chime in, I'd sure appreciate it because I don't want to screw it up. But we were talking about before the show, we were talking about a no-name street that was there at the Havasu Hotel because they hadn't designed a street to get in and out where the buses could turn around. Is that right?
Yeah. The buses came into the hotel, and then they had to make a U-E to get out of there, and it was difficult for the buses. So the street that goes now between the police station and the city hall, and then goes over to a coma, wasn't there. So they just plugged it in and called it bootleg.
Bootleg. Okay, I love that. So, I mean, I'm going to have to refer to that. Needless to say, that's a kick for me. So, obviously, later on in years, they put it on the map, but during that time frame, it wasn't there if you looked for it, I'm assuming.
I think
it had a sign.
I think they snuck it in and didn't get the proper county approvals.
Are you sure we did something like that here in Havasu? I don't know how.
Somebody can probably call in and tell me I'm wrong. But
no, I'm pretty sure they'll tell you. Well, I know a few other streets too.
Yeah.
No, and I appreciate that. You know, Havasu and the creation of our town, Trico, you know, the Holly Salesman, obviously R.P. McCulloch, had his hand in a lot of things. He was a risk taker. Hal and I were talking a little bit about that. You know, if he maybe stayed with Superchargers, might have even been a little bit more profitable. But, you know, he took a risk on Havasu, or else we wouldn't all be here as friends today. But it probably, with all the communities that RP had his hand on, probably wasn't as lucrative as he thought they would be. Certainly I know Pueblo West was kind of flatlined for him. But it's still active today, and they have McCulloch Boulevard there, and it goes down into Lake Pueblo.
Fountain Hills.
But here in Havasu, we're kind of the exciting, diamond in the rough that ended up turning into a blossoming profit for many investors back in the day. I think, Hal, that there's probably still lots out there that have been passed down to family members, that never got built on, that potentially were bought off the airplanes back then.
I'm sure there is.
You know, there's a handful. And as, you know, certain individuals pass on, you know, they're passing it to people who probably don't have a care, which is why we see some of the lots being sold today. And it's fascinating to see our town grow. We're kind of reaching the pinnacle of our infrastructure, so we'll all have to see how that turns out here in the future. But back in the day...
Well, before we were incorporated, it was just sheriffs.
That's right.
And we pretty much got away with a lot of stuff that...
We did.
Normally we wouldn't.
And the views. Everybody had a view. Didn't matter where you lived, you had a view of the lake. Mm-hmm. So when we hear people talk about, wow, I really wish, you know, we could, you know, go back in time. The only thing I try to remind people of is that it was rough economy-wise. We were struggling to get through our winters. The summers were tending to be profitable until the snowbirds arrived and created this even plane for financial support. But back in Havasu in those days, wow, you know, life was wonderful. We really enjoyed it.
Well, our place, we rented that place from Edie McDougall.
Ah, Edie.
Yeah, the Sombrero duplex. And we had milk and cheese delivery, too.
Wow.
Back then, which was something that I still, I'm surprised that they even did that, but they did. But we couldn't get
our mail delivered. We had to go to
Right.
Was it dairy or from the store?
No,
We didn't have a dairy.
Oh, you didn't? No, because my parents worked for Arden Dairy back in the day in the 60s in Vegas.
I'm not sure.
So, and my father did deliver.
Huh. To my knowledge, if it came out of Vegas, I'd be thinking, you know, bad milk.
For sure.
But,
well, in Claypool's, a gallon of milk was a quarter.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
That was big money.
Wow.
That was big money. It's really something when we look at the changes. But fortunately, as we sit here with each other and all the friends that are listening to our show, want to say hi to all the pioneers of Havasu and all those folks that came in shortly after. And thank you for listening to this show, because if it wasn't for you, we simply wouldn't have a show to share all these really wonderful stories. These stories, by the way, are all recorded. You can listen to them live on the website under Pioneers Radio Show on KNTRTalk.com. And we'll eventually be sharing a copy of them with the museum. So stories like Julie and Hal's and other folks that we've had on will be available there at some given point. And you can also visit the Havasu Pioneers page and become a member. If you've lived in Havasu or currently live in Havasu, you can be a member. So Julie, you know, anybody you want to say hi to? Any favorite family members?
Oh, yeah. Well, Shauna's here. My other daughter, Lisa, she's at work, and she's listening, and she wished me well this morning. Don't say anything stupid.
She did not. That's funny. Wow.
So,
no, that's and you know, don't worry. We every now and then we each put our foot in our mouth on occasion. We have to pull it out, but I think you did a wonderful job. Hal can't thank you enough for sharing. Shauna, thank you for being here on the show with us. You know, as we go forward, and let's see, looking at, you know, our
Hal's looking at me like, did I share? Yeah, it was about 2 minutes worth. You did good. You did really well. Well, you have a voice for radio.
Yeah.
No,
yes,
do.
You
really?
Do. You have when you hear yourself on the show.
Got some.
You're gonna go. I should have said more.
That's more of a chance to stick my foot in.
See that? Got resonance and everything.
Well, actually, having somebody that worked with Trico, he's our first person that we ever had, so that was a big deal. And again, the stories you shared, the insight was a lot of us are going to take that and move on, sharing that story with others. Our next show is going to be July 1st on a Wednesday at 11 a.m. in the morning. I don't think we're not changing times, right?
No, okay. Not until November.
All right. Okay.
But we do have a text.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, from the KNTR Talk text line, 928-727-5566. Please ask Julie and Hal about the 505 Club. It's like 5:05 p.m., it's written, at Chagru's every Friday and Taco Night at the Poorhouse. Longtime friend Bones and Judy.
Oh, yeah. Those are great people. And the taco night at Poorhouse, that was affordable for the families. I think tacos were $1.
Yes, they were.
And we went there every Tuesday night, I think.
Wednesday,
yeah.
It was Taco Wednesday, and you are right, mm-hmm. sir, because it resonates in my mind to this day. Taco Wednesday is $1, and I wish somebody'd bring it back. Of course, you can't afford it for $1, but man, I remember it.
Yeah, it was fun, and it was the place we could afford back then too, and take the
kids. And the tacos
out.
Were good. They were really filled.
You could get the shell now for $1.
Yeah, maybe.
And someone said, "Hey, Dan, thanks."
Okay, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
We don't know who it is.
No. Well, I know the number, but I'm not giving you that.
I'm saying thank you back, even though I'm not telling you who it is.
Perfect.
I really appreciate it. And, folks, again, thanks for listening to us today. Paul, like I said, our next show is going to be Wednesday the 1st, which is really kind of exciting.
It is because it's the 4th is on Saturday?
Yes, it is.
And we're off on Friday. So it's the next to the last show of that week.
Yes,
it is.
We may
be off on Thursday, too. I don't know. I haven't made that call yet.
Very good.
All right. And everybody have a happy and safe June if we don't see you, and we'll see you back here in July.
Sounds great.
All right. Perfect. And I'm Paul Lavoie, back with more in a moment. I'll have what's coming up on the schedule for Speak Out the next couple of days and into next week. And may have some public service announcements on top of that. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. That's right, Randy Bachman. You ain't seen nothing yet, because tomorrow's show is going to be a good one with Gina Swoboda. She always provides some fireworks, and she's in a primary battle right now for the GOP nomination for Secretary of State. And Gina will be on live on the phone, of course, at 11 o'clock. And we will likely have it to where Marissa is nodding her head, too, to where people can call in and talk to Gina Swoboda. So we'll get that all taken care of. On Friday's show, Councilwoman Michelle Lynn, and we'll have Dave Heath on. He is the he was the executive director, and then they went through, I don't know, a couple over 20 years,
And then Dave's back after being with the city for 22 years. So we'll talk to Dave about the current situation at the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Colorado River in Bullhead City. On Monday, Wormsea, they'll provide one of the doctors, one of their skilled surgeons or specialists. And then Nancy Campbell's going to be on the show. She's on the Rural Transportation Advisory Council. And Nancy's going to give us an update of what's happening there with those meetings statewide. All right. I'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Again, our guest, Gina Swoboda. Have a great day, everybody.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.